Good afternoon. Today is Monday, August the 13th, 226th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon from the Hobo County Office of Education, Mr. Dr. Gary Eagles.
Well, top of the afternoon to you, Brian. Good to see you.
Is it Mr. Doc? No, it's probably Dr. Mr., huh? If you were a Supreme Court judge, it would be Mr. Justice, right?
That's true.
Not that that's in either.
Listen,
of
I just go by what my grandmother told me. It doesn't matter what they call you as long as they don't call you late for dinner. And I...
both have... heated that one.
We have not missed a dinner.
In fact, sometimes I think I'm hearing someone calling. Hey, you managed to find a couple more friends, huh?
I actually did. I have two special guests with me today, Jennifer Budwig from Redwood Capital Bank and Kay Becker from Ferndale High School, and they are here to share with us today some very special things happening with the Decade of Difference and financial literacy. And
it's nice to see Jennifer not wearing her camos today, too. It's kind of a nice little twist.
Is that right?
My other hat.
Yeah. The fatigues. Okay. Only reference to it. So we'll talk about financial literacy. Who has it? Who doesn't? What does it mean?
And how we're infusing it on the North Coast in a variety of different ways with our youth.
Ooh, I just felt a shiver go through the entire three counties. We'll find out if it's legit or not when we come back.
I'm Mark Biette with today's garden tip about not being a prunomaniac. The conscientious gardener needs to know that each kind of plant has its own best time to be pruned. Avoid shearing flowering plants into shapes which really look unnatural. Thin flowering shrubs with a hand pruner. I'm Mark Biette with today's garden tip.
You've got to get up pretty early in the morning to hear Mark Biette and his wealth of gardening knowledge. 5 to 7 a.m. Sundays on KWSW 980.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times 314. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Gary, Kay, and Jennifer. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Louis Pasteur, noted financial guy. In the field of observation, chance favors the prepared mind.
Well, that works.
Kind of makes sense, huh?
That actually does
snuck
work.
Snuck it in through the side door. Gary, I know that there probably must have been a number of eyebrows raised when you started formalizing discussions around financial literacy. I think we talked a little bit about some stuff last week when I was going through Eureka High. Ellis Williamson beat into everybody. His civics class was the court system, the government structure, and balancing a personal checkbook, being able to fill out your own income tax. That was it. The easy, obviously. And that was his goal for a semester in his class, and he was not known as the easy class to take. Okay. So here we've come full circle in, 30-whatever years, 35 years. What percentage of the students do you think are in public education, let's say junior, senior, can't balance a checkbook, don't have base knowledge of financial literacy?
Well, I would have, I'd be shooting in the dark to give you any kind of answer, but I can guarantee it would surprise people because the number would be very large, who, while they may know the mechanics of the checkbook, understanding their financial management, which is the core element of it, is where the challenge lies. Brian, of course, you know, as it is, most young people think money grows on trees anyway. They just ask their parents and it suddenly appears.
You've seen my T-shirt, Bank of Dad.
Yeah.
Literally, it's Bank of Dad. Yeah.
But here's the thing. What we're trying to do, as you know, through the Decade of Difference, is really prepare kids for life. We talk about it in terms of being prepared for college and or career. But whatever it is, it's a matter of making very mature adult choices. And part of that is understanding how to financially maneuver in the world of adulthood. So we've taken a couple of different tracks with that. One is, of course, to support entrepreneurism itself as a concept and entrepreneurial thinking. But more specifically to today's conversation, dealing with the personal finances, family finances, and this is where Kay comes in. Kay was instrumental in helping to launch one of the very first required high school courses in financial literacy at Ferndale High School. Plus, she's been involved in several other things similarly related to financial literacy. And Jennifer from Redwood Capital Bank is a very visible member of our Decade of Difference financial subcommittee, dealing with not only financial literacy and helping to bring resources of people that work in the field into classes and talking with kids, but also in the terms of just financial support for helping kids beyond. So it's a multi-directional component, but again, it comes back to preparing kids to take an active and appropriate role in adulthood.
Great prologue, but you lost me when you said mature adults, and I'm thinking when you and I were going through high school and college.
Well, I thought I was
mature. Mature adult is not necessarily what my recollection is of that time period.
Speak for yourself, Brian.
Yeah, I think I was.
I totally agree.
So, Kay, what do you see? I mean, as a goal, great. We're talking about kids who might have an allowance, might have their first job. Their definition of a successful week might be slightly different than those of us out of school. Mm-hmm. How do you get them to make mature, or the concept of a mature adult-based decision, financially speaking, when they're bulletproof?
Sure.
And they really don't even know what they're going to do with their life, let alone what kind of economic strata they'll be in.
Good question. But like Gary alluded to, no matter what they do in life, the one common denominator is money. And for a lot of the students that I see, they've seen their parents either handle money or not handle money, oftentimes in a way that is not successful. And the students that I deal with on a daily basis want to do it differently.
Oh, really? So there's a recognition going in from the kids that mom and dad are mom and dad, but that doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to adopt all of their ways.
Correct. Correct. Also, too, high school students are experiencing for the first time in their life a lot of freedom. And with that comes the possibility of maybe moving out and living on my own shortly after high school. If they're not living on their own, maybe with a roommate, and they want to be able to manage their money to make it work.
KINS, News and Information Times, 319.
There's a brand new show on KEKA 101 Thunder Country, Country Gold with Randy Owen, Sunday evenings from 8 till midnight. It's a four-hour intensive music show hosted by the lead vocalist of the group Alabama. Country Gold will feature 13 songs per hour and highlighted music from the 70s to the mid-90s. Be sure to listen to KEKA 101 Thunder Country, Sunday evening from 8 till midnight. Country Gold with Randy Owen.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Kay Backer, with Jennifer Budwig, and with Gary Eagles. Guys, as we talk about this concept of financial literacy, I would think that it could be a collegiate major. It could be a senior thesis paper. It could be something that the kids did with crayons in second grade for an afternoon. So how do you define the magnitude of what really is applicable for the setting that you're operating in and will still achieve the end game, the results that you want to, so that you know you're being successful?
Well, I think you start off early on with with understanding what money is and appreciating it, that it's a means to an end. It's a way to acquire other things. But then you teach the value of money. You teach how to manage the money. Then as the child grows older and gets more ability to be a little bit more independent, then you can talk about being creative to go out and, you know, earn money. And then, of course, as Kay was just talking before our break, when you get to high school, then you're actually talking about something that could be very hands-on concrete, which is, hey, I need to be ready in 12 months or in 18 months to be out on my own. How do I get the financial resources to do that well? Whether you're teaching savings accounts and checking accounts and work and taxes and net income versus gross income. I mean, it's all part of the game.
Taxes?
But that's where, you know, where Kay can reach some individuals in the classroom she teaches. But Jennifer, working with community members, now we're talking about reaching more kids throughout the county, and that's what Jennifer's and her colleagues' role is.
So Jennifer, is the community component a reinforcement of the educational component? So when the kids come out of the school setting, the people that they'll be interacting with are more knowledgeable about what the kids are coming from? Is it an attempt to educate the community, period, and kind of do what Kay's doing in the classroom, doing it out in the community settings? At what level does the community component interface with the school component?
Well, I think through the Decade of Difference program, the financial literacy element of it has a couple of different ways of doing exactly that. And one is that where Kay is, Ferndale High School is the only one who currently has that as part of their curriculum and a requirement for graduation. The goal is to hope that other schools undertake that. So they'll be getting that regular education at the high school level. And some of these work types of groups that we're going to be doing will come in and continue to reinforce that. So as an example, we did do one of these days at Ferndale where we had a full day that we were allowed to come in, and we had five different folks from outside of the community, and everything from insurance to we had bankers, and we had all kinds of different folks that came in and taught the different classes just to kind of give them the basics. And these were to the juniors and seniors. In that, what we're hoping to do is to reinforce that based on what Kay has been teaching them throughout the year. But a lot of these other schools don't currently have that type of a structured curriculum in place. And until they do, we'll continue to try to go in and teach those different elements. And it's everything from banking to credit to budgeting, taxes, and so forth. So it's definitely interactive, and we are trying to bring the community in as well. But I think the bottom line is just as Gary's saying, is try to educate them, you know, throughout the whole process of school and get them ready for when they do go out on their own. But the backbone of the Decade of Difference program is also to make sure that it's the financial component of it is not a reason for kids to go on to a secondary education. So through this process, there's the Learn to Earn program through Umpqua Bank. There's a couple of other pieces of it that are implemented at the elementary school level. But the idea is to get kids saving for college. And then as they continue through this process, to expose them to what scholarships are available out there, what kinds of different programs can provide them with student funding and so forth, so that they can go on to get an additional education above and beyond high school.
Kay, you were allowing that you almost have to break the financial cycle that the kids have with their parents as mentors. I kind of went to a quick stereotype on that one first thing out of the chute. What do you see that has to be, where's the line have to be broken? Or where are the kids breaking it? Say, I don't want that. I want something else. What are you dealing with? Is it two parent or two working parents? Is it split homes? Is it drugs? Is it other things?
I actually have a myriad of different types of students that I serve day in and day out. But first, let me clarify that there are parents that are setting a really good example for their kids financially. I think those kids will be fine on their own. They have great role models. They have informal education. When it comes to financial literacy at home, there's ongoing talks about finances at home. I'm trying to reach the individuals who may not have that at home, and so that runs the gamut from kids from broken homes to single parent homes to, you know, some students are financially responsible for the bulk of their care, and so those are the students that actually take a look, see that it didn't work, and really want to make a change.
So they've already got battle scars from life.
Exactly.
And now they're paying attention.
Exactly.
To class. Okay.
But I also think, Brian, there is going to be a group of kids, though, who, even if their parents seem to manage their resources well and have a good concept of financial literacy, you'd be surprised how some of those actually won't play the teacher, because finances, like maybe sex education, is not an easy, comfortable topic.
Exactly.
So just because the parents might model it, sometimes they think the kids will just get it by osmosis. Mm-hmm. That's not the way it works.
KINS, News and Information Times, 3:30.
There's never been a clear winner in the so-called battle of the sexes, but in the battle for bacteria-free hands, one half of the population is germier than the other. So whose hands are cleaner, men or women? Hi, I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and here's to your health. The researchers tested 51 college students using a new detailed system for detecting bacterial DNA. But remember, most of the bacteria in our bodies is either harmless or beneficial.
Dr. Hoffman answers some of your health questions on Health Talk, Saturday mornings, 9 to 11, on KWSW 980 AM.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Gary Eagles, Kay Becker, and Jennifer Budwig about financial literacy. Guys, I would think one of the challenges is you look and see how much that there is and has to be done. Okay. And then with the county fair starting in a couple of days, you've got the flip side of that with the FFA kids and the 4-H kids, and they're out there and they've raised their critter of whatever brand, and they're selling them, and maybe they make a couple of bucks, and maybe they realize that they didn't make a couple of bucks, and see fruits of their labors, so to speak. Do county fairs tend to reinforce what you're talking about when you're talking with the young ones and the high school students about, you can do this, and here's what you have to factor into it, and here's a small little example of being an entrepreneur?
They're great examples. I think the local and county fairs provide an avenue for kids to showcase all their hard work, which starts with a project such as, it could be anywhere from an animal project to a vegetable project, and a lot of that is documented during the school year as far as income and expenses. They really do become entrepreneurs during this time, and then to see the fruits of their labor, they have an opportunity to sell a lot of their projects at the end of the fair. I have a golden opportunity with Guy Fieri's pretzel cart to also infuse some entrepreneurship type activities with kids. Guy Fieri, his foundation, donated the pretzel cart about 2 or 3 years ago, and the County Office of Education graciously gave me a floating period to help oversee it. And we've taken that project and turned it into a real entrepreneurship experience for junior high kids. They man it. They learn about customer service. They learn about inventory control, risk management. They learn about safety and food handling.
I'm going, OSHA, food. I'm thinking all the regulatory stuff.
Mm-hmm. That's correct. They get a real good, they hit the ground running, learning what it takes to be young entrepreneurs. And right before every fair, we bring in community members who will put on a two-hour training session. And this year we had Greg Foster from Redwood Capital Bank talk to students about what it means to be a business owner and do some training and hands-on before the
Don't
fair.
Hesitate, run for the hills.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think Greg heard about how good the pretzels were, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
He wanted the kids to try out.
Didn't have to go
product.
Too far from home. Yeah. Jennifer, is there a larger scale example that you can use for the high school, or maybe even if this thing goes to a collegiate level? I know there's, you know, JA and some of those types of programs that are out there, but my sense is that this has got a lot more nuts and bolts and a lot more black and white to it rather than the theoretical stuff.
Yeah, I think so. The county, I feel, has done a really good job of promoting youth entrepreneurship in that regard. So that's a perfect example as far as the Junior Livestock Auction and how that kind of sets a pace for looking at or helping kids to understand what a net income is. You know, so you've got your gross, and then after you pay your expenses, you pay for the cost of your critter, whatever else it might be, then your net income is what goes in the bank. And then you move that to the next level, and that might be something like the Youth Entrepreneurship Program that they started a few years back, and that's basically providing the kids the opportunity to prepare a business plan. And as part of that, of course, there are going to be projections, but it's where they actually have to come and do a presentation. They are judged, their business plans are reviewed, and then they can receive up to $5,000 in an award to go specifically towards either further education to help specifically with their job or with their business is going to be, or spend those funds on that particular business. And then from there, you take it a step further, and there's the Economic Fuel Competition, which is held up at Humboldt State each year. And that's something that has been in existence for, I believe, 7 years now. We might be going on our 8th year. And they grant over $117,000 in prizes every year. to 8 different recipients. And same thing as far as they develop a business plan, submit that. They have to give elevator pitches. They have to give presentations in front of the judges. It's just an exceptional program. And a lot of those businesses have gone on and been very successful. So it's really nice to see that money going back into the community and seeing those businesses thrive.
Elevator speech. Can you guys imagine doing that now? Where you are and trying to get somebody to understand and grasp what your idea is in 2 minutes. I'm just warming up. Gary, what is the biggest challenge that you see with developing not a spirit of, but perhaps a support for entrepreneurs in our area?
First of all, I think it comes down to ensuring that kids understand that many things can be thought of in terms of the creative entrepreneurial spirit. And first of all, it's increasing the awareness, then building self-confidence, and teaching kids what good calculated risk is in life. And of course, they had some good basic financial planning, they could better understand what is a risk and where they might begin. I think in terms of the instructional program, Jennifer was talking about, perhaps the community can come in and volunteer and make presentations until perhaps more high schools adopt the kind of course that Kay has going on at Ferndale. I'd like to see that happen. What we need is, though, a system-wide education to acknowledge that financial literacy is important and is as important as some of the other curricular requirements that the university now has. And if the university system would get behind it, then you'd see more high schools be able to build it into their curriculum because it'd be recognized.
KINS, News and Information Times, 3:42. We'll be back with more from Jennifer, Kay, and Gary.
Water always wins. That's why there's a Grand Canyon. I'm Glenn Higgy, America's master handyman. Keeping water away from your home's foundation is one of the most important things you can do. If your home is on a crawl space, you need to know what is going on under your feet. Your home's structural integrity and your family's health may depend on it.
Listen to Glenn Higgy Sunday morning, 7 to 8 a.m. on KWSW 980.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:46. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Kay Backer, Jennifer Budwig, and Gary Eagles. Guys, how does the community make business classes at high school, junior high, elementary school modules? How do you make it so that it's a place where you can go so that the colleges are accepting, that the junior colleges are recognizing, that the kids in those classes aren't avoiding the trig trail with the algebras and the geometries, but it's something that is seen as being important and critical to their education at the high school and at the collegiate level?
Well, at the post-secondary level, they have to recognize that it's important. And one of the things high schools are doing with a lot of their courses, not just financial literacy or finance management in particular, but they're trying to do articulation agreements. They're trying to have a lot of their courses approved for the A through G requirements, which means that if you take, for instance, a finance management class, that eventually you can get credits for it at the college level. And those are agreements that I know for me personally I'll be working on in the future. That's one of the things that I'll go back in the fall and work on.
UCCSU recognition?
Yes.
That's a pretty nice bar to jump for. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I saw some pole vaulters trying to do the same thing.
Yeah. But we'll try to get the gold on ours.
Yeah.
No, it is a process that we have to go through. The curriculum has to meet certain benchmarks, and then we have to have it approved by the UC system. But I do think that there is an ever-increasing awareness out in society at large that financial literacy, financial management are core competencies that all people need to have. And so I don't think the bar will be that hard to actually get this achieved, Brian. So I think that'll be the next step.
Right.
Acceptance statewide?
I actually think it will be, yes.
You think it will?
Yeah, yeah. Once it gets A to G cool. accepted, it can be applied throughout the CSU and UC system.
Is that a 2, 5, 10 year?
It could be a 1 year.
Oh, really? That
mm-hmm.
quickly?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you know what then happens. Accountability with the budget statewide.
Well,
whoops.
Jay and I were talking earlier about that there's some folks in Sacramento, and I know there's some folks in Washington that missed out on their own financial literacy, financial management training. We'd like to put them back through the course.
Yeah. Send a couple modules home to them. Yeah, try these out, guys. Is there any chance? I mean, I see this as a basic fundamental kind of thing. The other thing I see that's missing is study hall, study habits. Now, I know it's part of this. You know, homework certainly is part of this, doing your homework. Do you see that the two are linked? Developing strong, study habits are connected to grasping this and also just taking the time to do the work so that you do know if you can afford your bills or not?
Well, one of the things I tell students is that if you don't manage your money's going to manage you, and that takes time. And just like study skills, you have to take time to study your subjects, and you have to take time to stay on top of your finances. So I see a definite link.
Or maybe for the athletes in the crowd, if you said, it's like fantasy football teams. You got to take the time to know who's going to. I'm trying to do a seasonal thing here. Take it easy on me. Jeez, blank scarcity. All right. Fine. We're done. Okay? More information is going to be on the county office.
I would call everybody the Decade of Difference website. Decadeofdifference.org.
You got it out, finally.
It took me a while.
Thanks for coming by, folks. We've been Talking Shop this afternoon with Kay Backer, Jennifer Budwig, and Gary Eagles. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug somebody. Let's see you tomorrow.